So obviously last talk of the conference, and I'm going to be doing something called SQL Server Data Tier Applications. So before we even start this topic, how many people even know what a data tier application is? Or they're also called DACs, right? DAC. Somebody thought that DAC was a better abbreviation for data tier application than DTA. I have no idea why, right? So you know of them a little bit. So let me tell you my background with data tier applications. So I go to this MVP summit once every couple of years or so. And I was at an MVP summit, and the MVPs of SQL Server are usually very high-powered DBA people. They're very sure of themselves. A lot of people have been working with SQL Server longer than the SQL Server team has, and they're very adamant about what they want. So they introduce this data tier application thing, and they get about four frames into the slides, and these people start yelling at the guy that's doing the presentation from the back of the room, yelling stuff like, how could you have a product like that? Why are you spending money on that? Throw that thing away. And this is as the guy's talking. So this turns out to be a really controversial feature in SQL Server. And so hopefully that'll help spice it up a little bit for what I'm going to talk about. Because it might be a little boring, but we'll see. Hopefully I never do anything that's boring. So you know who I am. Or if you don't, you do now. Okay. By the way, my job this time is to get done on time. So data tier applications have had a really strange history. And really what a data tier application is it's a way to install a database in a database application and all the schema information, the equivalent of installing a program with an MSI file. Right? You know how if you want to install a program, somebody just gives you an MSI file, you double-click it, and it installs? Well, that's the premise of data tier application. The premise of it is you just present the database administrator with a data tier application file called a DAC pack, and they put the DAC pack in SQL Server, and it just installs the entire database. Now, of course, you could see why high-powered DBAs would dislike that, right? Because that sounds like a threat to their job, right? And so I wanted to know what the reason for data tier applications were and why they were having them at all and why this is such a threat to database administrators. And it turns out the first feature they used this with was called multi-server management in the SQL utility. But since then, they've done a lot of other interesting things with data tier applications, and eventually the DBAs are going to have to get used to it. So there's a guy that works on the DAC team, not the guy that they yelled at, who calls himself the DAC guy. And so the DAC guy wrote a blog at one point, and I know this guy. And so I wanted to use some of his terms just to indicate what these terms mean. So DAC is a sort of overriding thing that actually encompasses all other technologies that the DAC is used for. Now, it turns out the DAC is used with at least three or four different technologies at the current time. And in SQL 12, they're actually going to be expanding what the DAC is going to be used for. Now, it turns out what the DAC is it's a set of libraries. So they call this set of libraries DACFX because they have to have FX after everything. So the DACFX is a set of libraries. And you can do some interesting things with DAC, but one of the things is that the libraries expose a way to install an application. So if you have, for example, PowerShell, you can program a PowerShell script to go install the same application and database on 20 different servers. And that's one of its, interesting things you can do with it. And you can do this by programming the DAC framework yourself from within PowerShell. I thought about having a PowerShell example here, but in release RC0 of SQL Server 2012, the DAC part of PowerShell is broken. So they've got to fix that, obviously, before they ship it. So DAC pack, the word DAC pack, was a format used by the DAC framework to represent the full definition of an application. And so now it becomes a little bit clearer, it will in about two sentences, what the DAC is all about. So when you're a database administrator and somebody comes to put in a new application, you install the application from scratch. There's nothing in the database, there's no tables that are already there, and that's fine, right? You write an install script. But what if you have to change some things, like a week down the road? You have to change some things about that application. What most database administrators will usually do is write a delta script, a script that just changes what needs to be changed. And what that means is that there's no point in time where the database administrator now has a script with the entire application in it. They have the first script, and they have the second script that's the changes from version 1 to version 2, but nobody's keeping track of the whole script. So what the DAC is it's a format that you can use that always has the entire script in it. And what the DACFX does is take this DAC pack, compare it to the real database, and they generate a Delta script. So that you always have something that represents the entire database, the entire application, but yet if you want to install changes, they can make a change-only script for you, which is kind of nice. So of course, the first thing DBAs want to know at this point is, if you're going to make a change-only script for me, can I read the script? And it's like, yes, you can read the script. Can I take the script out and install it myself? Yes, you can do that. Can I change the script and install it myself? Yes, you can do that too. And now they get a little less upset about it. So that's what DAC pack is. And in fact, I want to show you a DAC pack. A DAC pack is just a file format. Somebody makes up interesting suffixes for these things. And just to make sure my, good, okay. And so I've actually taken one out. In fact, I could go ahead and take one out for you. If I don't have one here, I will. There we go. So I took the pubs database, and I told it to make a DAC out of the pubs database. And when I told it to make a DAC out of the pubs database, it went through and looked at all the objects, and it made this thing called a DAC pack. There it is right there. And all a DAC pack turns out to be is a zip file. But they even went as far as to make a shell extension so that you could click on something with the name DAC pack and say unpack, and it would unzip it. But really all it is a zip file. So if I unzip this, there we go. If I unpack this, you'll see that a DAC pack actually contains two or three or four files. Okay, so now it says it's going to put it in the pubs directory over there. So I'll have to make it pubs 2 because already I have a pubs directory. There we go. So a DAC pack is just basically a zip file with four files in it. These four files, and this upsets every database administrator in the world too, are not only a SQL script for the entire pubs database. So here's a SQL script for the entire pubs database. While we wait for that to come up, notice that there's also three XML files. The three XML files are the logical set of objects, like tables and views and stored procedures. Those are logical objects, but also physical objects, because you might want a database with two file groups, and those two file groups you might want to reside on different disks. And so they can encompass that in the physical object stream. If you look at this stuff, it doesn't look at all like SQL, which upsets, of course, every database administrator in town as well. There we go. So what this is the XML representation of a schema for a relational database. And we'll see why they did this later on. They actually had some reason in mind when they invented this. So now, rather than to have a script, you have the XML representation of the logical data model, the XML representation of the physical data model, and some metadata for the DAC pack that you can use to tell it which version it is. So this is the pubs application version 1.0.0.0. And you can do your own versioning with this. This is not something that they make up for you. They'll make up the 1.01 eventually, originally. And there's our script. And basically it's a way, it's a way to define the entire pubs database, grants, functions, you know, tables and everything else. And a database administrator could conceivably take that script out and run it. If you want to, though, the DAC will run it yourself, itself. And this is always a script of the entire database. If you're going to do a change to that database, you're going to get a new entire script of the database, and it's going to do the deltas for you. And who does that right now? If you're a database administrator, who you guys do that right now? I was talking about which product does that right now. Which product could... Visual Studio, yeah. So really, who's eventually going to use this at the end of the day is GERD, right? In SQL Server data tools, that's how they're going to do the differences between the two. So of course, since they can do the differences for the data tools, they can also do the differences to be able to install this thing. So the premise is that you're supposed to go up after you've developed this database, give your database administrator a DAC pack. Let's ruin the pubs database over here, so we'll delete it, just so we don't have it in there. It's only a sample database. Why not? There we go. So we got it. Okay. And now you give your database administrator a DAC pack. So there is my DAC package right there. And you say to the database administrator, here's my application, install it, which you know the DBAs won't like that. Okay, but But if they do, if they agree with you, they will go ahead and install it. And the way they install it is in the Object Explorer, there should be, there we go, a tab that says Import Data to Your Application. And so they just click, right-click on the databases and say Import Data to Your Application. And it asks you for a DAC pack. So here we have a useful spread, what do you call it, screen. Import, oh, import looks like it's looking for backpack. Okay. If import is looking for backpack, what's the one that looks for DAC pack? Deploy. Deploy data to your application. We'll get to backpack later on. Okay, so deploy data to your application will actually make you a blank database. So this one wants a DAC pack. Okay. So pubs.dacpack, great. It reads the DAC pack and says we have pubs version 1.0. We know where they got that. And then next, and it checks to make sure that all the components you've specified are actually good for that version of SQL Server. And at this point it says, name the name of the deployed DAC and database. And why is that? Why is it upset about that? It's upset about that, I bet, because when I deleted the pubs database, I might not have deleted the files. Really? That's upsetting. Because it won't make go any further than that. What does it say? Oh, there we go. A DAC instance with the same name already exists in that version of SQL Server. Oh, so one of the things that happens when you install this is it registers it with SQL Server. So SQL Server under the management folder has a thing called data to your applications, the one at the very top. And so what I have to do besides deleting the database is unregister it. So data to your applications, notice they already think that pubs is there. And they keep track of this stuff in MSDB. So let's delete the data to your application. And if the database still exists, they would ask me at this point, what do you want to do? Do you want to unregister it, or do you want to detach the database, or do you want to destroy the database? But I've already destroyed the database by some other mechanism, so all they're going to do is delete the registration. Great. So how far do I have to go back before I start over again? Okay, so let's see now if we could do it. So go in there, say deploy data to your application. They're still upset about it. Okay. Let's start over again. Go in there, deploy data to your application. Okay, go. We'll go look for the DAC pack. We'll get the DAC pack. Next, fine. So now it's validating the contents of the DAC pack. And one of the things that's nice about this is as part of this validation, they will also validate that all the objects are valid for the type of database you're installing it in. So for example, suppose I had service broker objects in there and I was trying to deploy it on SQL Azure. If I'm trying to deploy it on SQL Azure and it doesn't support Service Broker, it says, I can't deploy this on the database you want. It doesn't support Service Broker. Or better still, if you wanted to deploy it on a SQL Server 2005 database and it actually had spatial data columns in there, they don't support spatial data until 2008. It'll tell you that too. So it does all the right checking against the right version, and then database administrators don't like this at all. Install it. Yes, sir. Okay. They're going to fix this. So his question was, it always seems to have the physical drive set to C, because either you got it from someplace it was on C or you developed it so it was on C. And they really want it deployed to F. And in the new version of the data tools, you'll be able to do that. So the new version of the data tools, if you use the data tools, they'll be able to do that automatically. But in the first version, it doesn't. Okay, so there it is. It's all done. So if I'm a DBA, I don't particularly like that at all, right? And they didn't. Okay. Now, besides DACPAC, they also have BACPAC. I don't know who makes up these names. And so it turns out that if a DAC pack is just an empty schema, right? So when you install a DAC pack, you get a brand new database. You get a brand new database with all the tables and stored procedures and user-defined functions and everything else, and no data. You can run a post-deployment script as part of your DAC pack and actually populate the data. But suppose you just want to restore the data from someplace else. So to restore the data from someplace else, they have a file format called BACPAC. And BACPAC not only has the schema, but it has the data. And so I said, why don't you just use a .bak file? And they said, haven't you ever heard of the problem where you can't restore a version 11 database to a version 10 server, or a version 10 database to a version 9 server, or any database to SQL Azure with a backup file? He goes, that's the point. He goes, the point is it'll check to make sure you don't have any objects that are invalid, but at this point with a backpack, it doesn't matter which version you install it to. It just works. As long as you don't use any of the objects that aren't allowed on that version, as long as it installs, it'll work. And the reason why they can't install anything with SQL Azure, so SQL Azure was the second big client of this DAC pack. The reason in SQL Azure why they can't do it is because SQL Azure is a weird version of SQL Server that's someplace right now between 10.5 and Denali shipping version, but it's sort of halfway between. That would mean if they really use the backup file format, that they could never restore an Azure version to version 2008 release 2, nor could they restore a 2012 version on Azure, and Azure's sort of the odd person out at that point, right? You can't do anything on Azure. And so a backpack just contains all the data as well. Now, it turned out that I was working with somebody in Azure just recently, and when I started to work with this person, I said, send me a copy of the database because I want to run it from home. And lo and behold, it shows up, and it's a backpack. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with this? So somebody sends me a backpack in the mail, and what I can actually do in SQL Server 2012 SQL Server Management Studio is I can go in here and I can say, instead of deploy, like I did by mistake before, I can say import. And when I say import, it comes up and it says, where's your backpack? And that's it. And so as long as I have the right tool that goes along with it, in other words, I can't do this from SQL Server Management Studio 2008, and I can't do this from SQL Server Management Studio 2008 Release 2, but I can do this from 2012 of Management Studio. So as long as you have the right tool, you can restore it anywhere, because you could use this tool to administer 2008 servers, right? As long as it's the same version or higher, you can use the tool to administer servers. Okay, and in this case, if you have a backpack, it'll ask you what you want the drive path to be. It'll actually put out the one that's in the backpack, and then, of course, you get to change it to whatever you want. So it'll do that for you automatically. But it will do the backpack now, too. So I don't have a backpack right now, and I don't want to install one. It turns out, so I said to him, what format is the data in the backpack file? And I wasn't really happy about what they said, but maybe you'd like it better than I did. It's JSON format. And it's like, you're going to give me binary data in JSON format? He goes, it compresses real well. It's like, okay. But it turned out I had a backpack that was about a gigabyte database, and it took me about 15 minutes to restore it. And I didn't really care for that. So it's not as fast as the real backup file. On the other hand, you can use it with Azure, which you can't use anything else with in Azure. Okay, so now we got four terms that if you've never heard of DAC, you may never heard of before, which is DAC, which is just a name for the whole feature, DACFX, which is a name for the libraries that you can program yourself, right? This is used in the tool. Suppose I didn't have a copy of SQL 2012 Management Studio on my desk. Well, if I can program in PowerShell, I can just program it to do that and run a script and it just installs. Cool. DACPack is the format that just has the schema in it, and Backpack has the schema and data. So this is analogous to installing a database with an MSI file, which again, most database administrators don't like. So what does it do? So what you can do with the DACFX, what you can do with the libraries, is you can build a DAC pack from a set of TransactSQL scripts. So if I have a TransactSQL script that encompasses all my data, or I have a series of TransactSQL scripts, I can use it to build a backpack, or I'm sorry, a DAC pack. And in fact, many packs, right? And in the Visual Studio 2010 tool, so this is just ordinary Visual Studio 2010 Service Pack 1, because I had to install Service Pack 1. There we go. If I make up a new project over here, he said, there we go. Come on. Let's go for new project. Okay. Oh, see, I'm losing people already. This is the least exciting part. But at least we'll be done on time this time, I promise. Okay. one of the types of projects I can have here is database project. And under SQL Server, you notice you have Gertz tool, which is the 2005 database project, the wizard, the 2008 database project. But then right down here, there's one for SQL Server data tier application. The difference is that his tool right now puts out a set of scripts. This tool with data tier application puts out a DAC pack, or it can actually deploy the DAC pack for you if you want. In the next version of his tool, which is the SQL Server data tools for 2012, that's going to be available for free, that one installs this project for them under other languages for some reason. And this is the SQL Server 2012 data tools project. And in that case, you have a choice of putting out a script or putting out a DAC pack. So either one is fine. And you can actually deploy the DAC pack with a command line tool called SQL package. Okay. So you can build a DAC pack from a set of transact SQL scripts. You can also extract a DAC pack from a database. Let's do that. So in this tool, we're going to go to the Northwind database. We're going to right-click on Northwind, and under Tasks, Northwind Tasks, this is probably too much GUI for everybody, right? Northwind Tasks, extract data tier application. Notice there's extract over here, and there's export over there. What export does is make you a backpack. What extract does is make you a DAC pack. So let's make a DAC pack. Bah, too many packs, right? Like I said, I don't know who invented these acronyms, but they were way too cute, right? There we go. So we'll do this. And then it's the Northwind database. You can name it a different number if you want to instead of version 1. And then next, and it'll go through and it says, oh, wait a minute, you have some objects right now that are not supported in the DAC. And so what objects are they? Oh, I have a file stream file group, and I have a file stream object. So I can't use a DAC pack with that because as far as this tool in beta goes, they don't support file stream. However, they're doing a lot of work on this tool right now. And so when SQL Server 2012 ships, whenever that is, and it's imminent, right, that they ship, in the shipping version, they will be able to encompass anything that you can put in a database. So right there, you saw one of the limitations of DAC is that they don't support all the objects. Starting in SQL 2012, they'll support everything. Anything that you can possibly, actually, there's 74 objects because I tried them all and then gave the results to Gert because the objects all deploy, but you have to have the right prerequisites, and they don't always have the right prerequisites yet. Like, what didn't it deploy for me that I made up? Oh, I made up a cryptographic provider, and it didn't deploy that for me in the right order. It says, you don't have cryptographic provider enabled on this database. It's like, oh, okay. So you can make up a DAC pack like that. We could have made one up of the pubs database, and then we'd show pubs.dacpack. Okay. You can also deploy a new database with a DAC pack, empty database. You can upgrade an existing database with a DAC pack, which brings up some real interesting repercussions about what if you change what the primary key is, what if you add columns, what if you delete columns, what happens to that data, right? And so they've got a heuristic to figure out what happens to that data during an upgrade. By the way, this was the last big thing the database administrators didn't like. Because when they put out the DAC, it had some limitations. DAC version 1 had the two following limitations that got everybody all upset. The first limitation was it didn't cover all of the objects. So you could go click on something and say, build me a DAC pack, and most of the time it would fail. And it's like, why would you put this out right now? And then the second big limitation was the way it did the upgrade. So if you went to do the upgrade with DAC version 1, and just forget you ever heard this, right? But if you go to do the update with DAC version 1, what it does is make a copy of the database and then put down a brand new database, copy the data over, and then rename the databases, right? Which, if you think about it, is fairly nasty because you have to have at least twice as much storage as you have for all that data. Plus, how long is it going to take? Like, how long are you going to be down to do that? So at that point, the DBAs just threw out their hands in disgust and said, we're not ever going to use this. Why are you putting this out now? Throw it away, right? So the first change they made to DAC, and this is a couple slides in, but why not? The first change they made to DAC is DAC version 1.1 does upgrades in place. But the DBAs never forgot that it didn't do upgrades in place the first time, and so they still don't like it, right? But it can do an upgrade in place, and there's a set of heuristics to what happens if columns change, columns get dropped. So they don't do the, if you ever hear people say the problem with the DAC is that it renames the databases and has this dual database thing, it doesn't do that anymore. Right? Exporting a new backpack from a database, that's basically just a backup. And then importing a new database from an existing backup, that's just a restore. The difference between that backup and restore and the other backup and restore is that this backup and restore is not sensitive to the version of SQL Server you're using. So very cool. Okay, so what's the point of this whole thing? And the point of this whole thing is basically to have a set of services around SQL Server that you can use if either the DBA is too busy, you don't have a DBA, or the DBA doesn't want to keep track of your crummy little application. Right. Now, that sounds like it's terrible, right? But I worked at Intel as a contractor for about 6 years, off and on. And at Intel, their DBAs keep track of at least 50 databases, 50 instances of SQL Server apiece. That's what they do for a living. And 50 isn't always that terrible, right? But then every day, somebody will come up with their new little departmental application and say, here, this is for you. Take care of this for me. And so the DBAs don't usually even look at these things. In fact, they're a nuisance to these people. So with these type of applications, a DAC pack would be a really good thing. Here's an MSI file. Just put it in and forget about it. And so it turned out that that was really the point of it. Also, it's an in-memory database model. So if you remember Gertz tool, Gertz tool used to require a SQL Server before it even would work. Right? When that thing first shipped, it was called DataDude. And to use DataDude, you had to have SQL Server installed, and you had to have SQL Server running for that to work. And then they came up with DataDude version 2, which I forget how he versions these numbers. And in DataDude version 2, they would actually store everything, all the metadata that he was working with, in a compact edition database, if you remember that version of DataDude. Right? Just the definitions of the tables and everything, right? So in the version that's coming out, SQL Server Data Tools, the SQL Server Data Tools use the DAC as an in-memory representation of the database. So you don't need a database at all to work with those tools. And they know exactly what the database is supposed to look like. And of course, if you do hit F5, they'll deploy it to an instance of something called LocalDB, because I'm sure you guys all went to Gert's talk, right? They'll deploy it to LocalDB, and they'll spin up a LocalDB for you. But you can do all your work offline on a plane someplace where no database exists. So what the DAC really is now is it's an in-memory representation of the database that he can use to run his tool against. That's it. And the file formats are SQL Server version independent. And DAC services enable a database application lifecycle and schema and data portability. In fact, with the comparison part of Gert's new tool, let's do that quickly. So if we go into here, and I don't know if we need a project for this or not. So let's just do data. Okay. And notice one of the things we can do with data is schema compare. So let's do data schema compare without a project and see if we get away with this. Okay, because I haven't tried all the ramifications of this tool. So it's eventually coming up. The lights are flickering on my machine. This is Visual Studio, so, you know. There's a rumor once upon a time that if you had more memory, Visual Studio took longer to come up because it basically eats all the memory that you have on the machine. We don't know if that's an unfounded rumor or not, right? So in this case, this is a database. You can choose a database to compare with another database. You can connect to an existing database and compare it to another database. Or if I drop down this and it's the right version, it's not going to give me a version. Database file. Okay, database file will look for what? Database file will look for a DB schema file. This is the old version. So let's make up one of Gert's new projects. There we go. So new project. And this would be for the new version of this. The sad thing is to have the old and the new at the same time. There we go. So we'll make up a new database project for this. And then we'll go off the menu that that database project comes up with. Because what I have is the old version of his tool and the new version of his tool installed on the same machine. DB schema used to be the file format that he used. And now, eventually when this comes up, good. If I was going to do a compare with that, which is data or SQL, it's schema compare under SQL now, not under data. The schema compare under SQL, which is his new tool. Come on, this better work. Okay. We'll decide that you can compare, and you just select source. And when you select source, it says, do you want to compare? And let's just select. Okay, so we'll do it. Not sure how far we have to go in here. There we go. And you can either choose a database or choose a DAC pack, right? Data to your application file. So when you do schema compare, you can compare a DAC pack with a database with another database, a DAC pack with another DAC pack, whatever you want. Because basically the schema is all in that DAC pack in that XML format. And so you can compare two DAC packs without even having a version of SQL Server installed, right? I could compare them on a plane if I had DAC packs. Of course, I have SQL Server installed too. Okay, so that's the point. So a quick DAC history, because if people tell you that they know what the DAC does, they're probably wrong, right? It does different things throughout history, and so here goes. In version 1, the DAC was invented to use with something called the SQL Server 2008 Release 2 utility. And I'm going to show you the 2008 Release 2 utility. Gert somehow seems to think this is deprecated, but I don't think this is deprecated. I've never heard of this. And then there was a Visual Studio 2010 DAC project. You saw the DAC project. We just didn't use it, the old DAC project. The only thing they did in 1.1, and quickly too, because everybody was mad at them, was to put an update in place. Right, so 1.1, the only feature it had was update in place. The rest of it stayed the same. By the way, version 1 supported a really small subset of the stuff that you could have in a database. It supported tables and views and stored procedures and triggers and the normal things, but it didn't support service broker, and it didn't support, signatures on stored procedures and a lot of the esoteric things it didn't support. So you could almost guess that if it was a complex application, about 50% of the time you couldn't make a DAC pack, which frustrated everybody that wanted to use it. So after 1.1, they were done for a while. They sort of made the DBAs happy. So the SQL Azure team went and grabbed them up. And they said, now you work for us, right? I know the people that work on this team, right? Now you work for us. And so what they had to do for version 2 is to support every database object that they have in SQL Azure. And also support the fact that you might want to move an Azure database to a regular SQL Server or a SQL Server database to Azure, and you had to know what was allowed in Azure and was not allowed in Azure. And so DAC version 2, which is already out, actually has support for SQL Azure. Now, at the same time, people started to get upset about the fact that SQL Azure did not have backup and restore. So you might have seen this thing if you've ever been on the SQL Azure portal. I can't believe I don't have IE in the tray on this machine, but anyway. Okay, so I'm going to bring up IE, and I'm going to connect to the SQL Azure portal. There we go, right there. And, the Windows Azure portal, right? SQL Server didn't invent Windows Azure. There we go. Okay, so up it comes. And, I told you, this was the easy light all demo part of the talk. Okay, so Silverlight, up it comes. Come on. There we go. So there it goes. It's filling in my databases and my hosted services and all this stuff. And at that point, here I have database. Now notice when I click on the database stuff and I connect to the database stuff, there's also, right at the top here, an import and export node. And guess what import and export produces in Azure? A backpack. And import will import what? A backpack. Where does it import it from, though? That's interesting, because this is Azure. So it would be really nice to have it exported to an Azure storage rather than your local machine at home, because it would take a lot less long to do that. And in fact, that's exactly what it does. So if I go in here, do I have a database in here? No, I don't. If I click on a database, actually, it's not going to let me do that. I can export that database to storage. Let's import one. Since I had my free database for the day, this will cost me 62 cents, but there you go. So let's import this. And they want the login for this database, and they want the password to this database. Okay, happens to know that one. New database name, we'll call this pubs. Okay, and edition is the web edition, because that's the only thing I get for free. And 1 gigabyte in size. And then it asks for the backpack URL. So it turns out that I could now have to go back into the portal and figure out what my backpack URL is. Or I installed this thing called the Azure Storage Explorer. And I have it set up to my Azure storage. And notice that my Azure storage is full of what? Backpacks, of course, right? And so that's the only thing I do with it. And so I'm not an Azure guy, I'm a Windows guy. So if I click on this, one of the things that I can say with this tool, and I always forget where it is to actually view the properties of this, which will tell me, he said, which will tell me what the URL is for it. Oh, I see. It's now paging my machine. So we'll wait for a while until the machine cools off. There we go. And so there's the absolute URL right there of the backpack. So all I have to do is get the URL of the backpack and type it in. And actually, it'll let me copy it from here. So we'll do that. Come on. We want the H, too. There we go. So we'll copy that, and we'll paste it in over here. And then, unfortunately, it also wants the access key of the Windows storage, because Windows storage is all protected by access key. And I think I can get the access key out of here, too. So, by the way, this is a free download as well. So where do I get the access key from here? Maybe view or security. Let's try view. I always lose this tool every time I get it. No, that ain't it. Okay, security. I know where to get it if I can't get it from here. Okay, so for security, because I had to key in the access key to get here. Really? It's not going to tell me. All right, so rather than to muck around with this, let's bring up another bring up another one of these guys, and I'll show you where that stuff is. So if I go back to the Azure portal again, he said, notice I'm still waiting to do this restore. Okay, and Silverlight comes up. Come on, you said 100%. Let's go. You can tell I'm a database guy. I have absolutely no patience with GUI. Okay, hosted services. And so it'll tell me all the hosted services I have. And what I have as a hosted service is I have a storage someplace. It's figuring out which storages I have. Where is that? Come on. Developer health, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we'll try this again. There we go. Select my subscription, go back to hosted services, and there's my subscription right there. Okay, so that's active. We'll go and get that. That's my storage, Bob B. Cloud Essentials Storage. And if I click on this, he said, one of the things that it should do, which it did not, is it supposed to get... Sorry? On the right? On the left? Right here? Really? The other side right here? It should be right here, but it's not showing up, right? What's showing up over here is all this junk, right? You can tell I'm really GUI impaired, right? Let me see if I can't get this from someplace. And if I can't this time, I'll punt. So copy, that's not going to... Oh, do you want to allow the web application app as the clipboard? I don't think I want to do that. There's usually a space right over here where it has the storage key, and you go and copy the storage key, and you put it in, and once you put it in, it restores everything. I have no patience with GUI. Let me try one more time. There we go. So, storages, you're not going to help me here. Okay, there we go. Storage accounts, there. Now, if I go to Bob B. Storage, there up here is the primary access key. Somehow I clicked around enough and fat-fingered enough things that I got it. There we go. It's going to bring up my lovely storage key, which I don't have memorized, surprisingly. And we'll copy it from here. And now we'll go back to the other window and we'll paste it in here. Okay. So now I have access to actually restore the thing. And, oh, don't do that. Did you just do escape out of that? Yes, I did. Okay. So anyway, that's how you do an import. And then 5 minutes later, the import works, right? Everybody all right with that? Good. That's how you do a restore. And so they actually use it for backup and restore, and it supports all the things that you can have in Azure. Now, after they got through with the Azure group, I sort of thought they were stuck, joined at the hip to the Azure group forever. Right. The next thing they did was, at this point, Gert had a new tool, right, the SQL Server Data Tools. And so the SQL Server Data Tools guys snatched those guys up, and they forced them at gunpoint to program DAC version 3, right? Actually, the DAC and the release candidate version is version 2.5, but DAC version 3 is the one that's going to ship with it. And DAC version 3 supports all of the SQL Server 2005 and above, and also SQL Azure objects. So with DAC 3.0, you can have a DAC that has in it service broker stuff, signatures for signed stored procedures, any weird esoteric thing you could possibly want. Right? Everything in SQL Server is supported by this. So now they're done, right? I don't know what they do after this for an encore, right? They went from version 1, it doesn't do anything, let's yell at people, to 3.0, it does everything, who are you going to yell at now? Okay. So I'm not going to do the motivational slides, but basically the idea with this slide was that it was difficult for people to manage 50 SQL Server instances at a time and care when you came over with your new departmental application every day. And by the way, nobody ever managed those, and nobody ever kept track of them. So, and in development, they had very limited tooling in early SQL Server versions. They needed a way to do deployment easily. So what they did was bring out a feature in 2008 release 2 called Application and Multi-Server Management. And Application and Multi-Server Management was also called the SQL Server Utility. And I wanted to show you the utility. This was the first customer for DAC. So notice over here in SQL Server Management Studio, I have Object Explorer, but I also have Utility Explorer. So what does Utility Explorer do? Okay, what Utility Explorer does when you look at it is it brings up this ugly screen. And one of the things that it says you can do is that you can create a utility control point. What's a utility control point? It's just a place that you can go that keeps information about all the servers you have to manage. And it keeps them on one nice dashboard. Because somebody asked the SQL Server management team, you guys do dashboards for everybody else. Why don't you do dashboards for us? Why do we have to go out and buy package XYZ to be able to get dashboards? And they said, you're right. So they made up this new thing, utility control point. And I actually have defined the utility control point on this machine. So I'm going to connect to it. And in the utility control point, it's fetching all the stuff that it was collecting. And it has data about the health of the instance that I'm managing. Now, I can manage up to 25 instances with this utility control point. So the Intel guys would have to have two, right? 25 instances of SQL Server. And what they're going to keep for health is they're going to decide whether or not the server is overutilized, underutilized, how the database log space is, how big the data is, how big the log is, and so forth. And you manage these with the utility. You can see these in graphic format. Now, one of the things that you can do with it, besides one per managed instance, right now I only have one. If I have 25, they would appear in these boxes, is, of course, you get these, what are they called? KPIs, right? The key performance indicators. And these are the KPIs for your servers. So what it's actually saying is because I have a virtual machine, it thinks that I don't have as much storage available as I could. But it says, you know, the CPU is okay, and the computer is okay, and the file space is okay, so we're in good shape. Now, how do they define okay? So in the utility administrator, you can go in and define what the global policy for okay and not okay is. And the premise is you should be able to look at one screen and you should be able to see the health of all the servers that you're going to manage, regardless of how many you ever do. Everybody okay with that? So what does this have to do with data tier applications, Bob? Well, that's on a server level, an instance level. Suppose I want to see this on a database level. If you want to see this on a database level, you have to have a data tier application. And here's where the utility thought I had one for pubs and I had one for Northwind, and it's going to measure all the same stuff for every data tier application you have. So one of the frustrating things to DBAs about version one of this is that they only supported a subset. So there was a very limit of subsets of databases that I could actually monitor with this thing, even though they didn't monitor any of the database objects. Right? All they monitor for databases is CPU, computer CPU, and so forth. So anybody catch where this is going so far by this description? Anybody work with the VMware products? Because VMware actually has something that does something like this now. Right? The premise with this, or where this was going, is that I'm managing 25 servers. In my 24th server, I happen to notice that I'm running out of space and we're low on CPU and we're low on everything. But on the 23rd server, I happen to notice that we got some empty space. What I would like to be able to do is take a database, like the Northwind database, and drag it and drop it over from server number 24 to server number 23. Wouldn't that be cool? Right? And it would be cool except for a couple things. Right, one of those couple of things is that what about the stuff in master? What about the stuff in MSDB? Where does that stuff go? And it turns out that was why they were working on this topic called contained databases. If you have a database that is completely contained, the premise is you can drag it from one machine to another and it just goes there. And everything just works. Right? If you think about it, that's probably how SQL Azure works. I don't know that for a fact. Don't quote me. Right? But that's probably how SQL Azure works. In VMware, you can do this now. Right, you can deploy a database on from one machine to the other. So that was the point of this DAC. Right? The DAC is now keeping track of what databases are installed on the machine, what their requirements are, It keeps track of what version you have of that database. Where does that information live? In MSDB. Where does it live on Azure? They don't have MSDB. It lives in master on Azure. Okay. And you can drag and drop a database from one to the other. Well, sort of. Not quite yet. So this was the first client for the DAC. This is why they brought it out before its time. They brought it out before its time because these guys needed that right now. And they didn't care that you couldn't manage half of the databases, because what you were really wanting to manage with not a database administrator but a portal that looks like this is you were really managing departmental applications. And so they didn't care if you couldn't do your big service broker ones. All they wanted to know is your 100 applications that you'd rather not manage by hand. Everybody okay with that? Okay, that's the real story. So that was their first client, the DAC people's first client. And I have some stuff on this. That's fine. Okay, the utility, we just saw what the utility was. The utility actually collects this information by using a feature of 2008 Release 2 called MDW, which is Management Data Warehouse. And they put this stuff in the Management Data Warehouse. They collect it every so often. And so your utility control point actually has to have enough space to store all this stuff. Okay. So the data tier application was meant to be a strict definition of a database that was version independent, that could be deployed anywhere. Now, what in this lovely scenario that I've just made up, you took something that used Spatial and you dragged it from a SQL 2008 instance to a SQL Server 2005 instance and said, run it there. Because the utility control point can manage everything from 2005 up. It requires that the utility control point be 2008 release 2, but it can manage old databases. Well, then the DAC would have to be smart enough to say, you can't move it there. And better than that, what I'd like is a way to programmatically go in and say, I'd like to move this database someplace. Give me a list of servers, light them up, where I can move this, right? Just light up the ones that I can move it to, and I'll choose one and drag it over there. This is supposedly where they're going with this. Obviously, this doesn't work now. But the idea is the DAC had to be aware of the fact that some objects were in some versions and not other versions. So that's what they use this DAC pack for. What problems does it solve? Release differences, features, and I actually thought they were going to use this to support the transact SQL dialect problem. Because if I actually took a DAC pack and installed something in Azure, and that DAC pack had something without a clustering key, every table in SQL Azure has to have a clustering key, it would tell me, you can't move it there because you don't have a clustering key. Oh. So it would actually check things on the fly, and that's what some of the point was. Also, SQL Server addition differences. So if I wanted to take something that used, goodness, full-text search, and I wanted to move it to just a generic SQL Express, which doesn't support full-text search, it would say, you can't move it there because you don't have full-text search. But if I was to move it from Express to some other version, it would do just fine. How about SQL Azure versus SQL Server transact SQL dialects? So there are differences in the transact SQL dialects between SQL Azure and SQL Server. That's what Gert's tool is doing some of now. So in Create Database, for example, in Create Database, there's a huge long books online page that goes about that long that tells you the options for Create Database. In Azure, it's Create Database, how big is it, what's the addition of it, and as of about 3 months ago, what's the collation of it? That's it, those three things. So if you coded up a lovely create database statement and tried to drop it on Azure, it had to be smart enough to say, you can't tell me three quarters of this stuff. Do you want to throw it away, or do you want to go back and try again? Right, so it's meant to basically solve the differences between going from the cloud back and forth, from different versions of SQL Server, and from SQL Server with different dialects. And server specifications, anything else. And moving databases between instances. That's the problem it's meant to solve. So to create a DAC pack, there's a couple of different ways to do it. With SQL Server Management Studio and the right version, you just say extract DAC pack, and we did that almost, and it made me one. With the new data tier application project in 2010, and this was a 2010 thing, not a data tools project, you can just say, I'd like to make a new 2010 project. Where am I in this? New project, 2010 DAC project. There's the 2010 DAC project, because I want to make one of these so I can show it to you. And then we'll call this database 2. That's fine. Up it eventually comes. Come on. It's thinking about it. Notice it's doing some of the things in the background. There we go. And then I can actually import things from, I can either import a script or, and notice what it lets me import, a data tier application, or it lets me import something from a database. So let's import the pub's data tier application that we had. How come? Because I feel like it, right? Okay, so we'll go back here, and it either wants a connection string to import off a real database, or give me a DAC pack. All right, so where's the DAC pack I had here? Goodness, under My Documents, Management Studio, DAC Packages, Pubs. Okay, there we go. And then it says, do you want to import the server selection policy? This is why I got you here, because I want to show you what a server selection policy is. I don't have any yet. So it's going to install pubs or import pubs into this project by just reading the DAC pack. Nope. No database is necessary. The file that you've specified is not a valid data tier application file, so they have versioning problems with this. Lovely. Okay. So there's a versioning problem, apparently, that they have with this. So let me show you what the server selection policy is anyway without a project. Okay. So if I go to this project now and I go to properties of this project, if I open the properties window of this project, he said, there we go. One of the things that I can do under project settings is I can say I want a data tier application, and I can specify what the version of it is. I can also go into build and say, what do you want to build me? Well, build me a DAC pack. And then someplace in here, it better have under deployment, there it is, the connection string and data tier application and validate server selection policy. So if I say validate server selection policy, a server selection policy is another set of settings I can have for whatever this builds. It builds a DAC pack. So the server selection policy can be used to tell the DAC, the infrastructure, what version this can run on down to the build number, what collation this has to be, does it have to be a case-sensitive database, what language does the server have to be, what OS does the server have to run on. And so anytime you drop this DAC pack someplace, if it has a server selection policy, it'll tell you, can it run on this server, can it not run on this server? Notice the server selection policy is not required, but it certainly is helpful if you want to do something like that. Now, the premise is that you are supposed to be able to use a server selection policy, and there's a PowerShell script someplace that does this, to actually go out and tell you a list of servers that you can deploy this on. Here's a DAC pack, where can I deploy it? Which is, like I said, kind of cool. That's why I wanted to get here to show it to you. Is everybody impressed now? The first time I did the DAC talk, I said to the people after the talk, how many people think this is a completely useless thing? And one guy raised his hand out of like 65, and I said, good, I will make you a SQL Server MVP, because I know where you can get people to agree with you. Oh, well, anyway. And SQL Server 2012 data tools use this. So, oh, there's the slide for that. So we just did the slide for that. Everybody happy with that? Yeah, good. So this is the big deal again, permitted objects. These were the only objects that were supported in DAC version 1. Now, those really are most of the objects that you'd use. Schemas and tables and views and indexes, oh my. Constraints, collations, computed columns. That's most of the stuff. And actually, user-defined data types, it would even let you use those. What it didn't support was it didn't support .NET code running in SQL Server, like SQL CLR. So it didn't support assemblies. It didn't support signatures on stored procedures. By the way, how many people sign stored procedures? Okay, I didn't think so. Did you know that you can sign a stored procedure and then assign permissions to the certificate that you use to sign the stored procedure rather than say execute as somebody? If you sign a stored procedure and then give that certificate a permission, then the stored procedure will run with that permission, not your permission, which is actually fairly cool. Right. Okay, logins. Logins get deployed to master. Users and roles get deployed to the database. But what it didn't support was all these. So everybody who said all this stuff was too esoteric to care about in 2005 raised their hands and got all upset when it wasn't supported by DAC version 1. You can tell that I had no sympathy for these people at all. Right, okay. Do we do this? Yeah, it's basically a zip file. Right. In fact, if your DAC pack doesn't open, because I have two versions of DAC on my machine, the new one that Gert's using and the old one, you notice I have a couple of problems. If the new version doesn't, if I can't open a backpack by using that right-click thing, One of the things I can do is just rename it from .dacpack to .zip, and it opens just fine. All it is a zip file, right? Okay, here's the versions it's supported in. And the weird part about this version support thing is, let me talk to this slide a little bit. So the idea is that this looks like this supports everything back to SQL Server 2000. And in fact, you can extract a DAC off of SQL Server 2000. But the big deal is the tool has to support it. So in SQL Server 2008 Release 2, it was the first time the tool actually supported it, SSMS support. So notice that you can extract a DAC pack off of 2005, but not with 2005 SSMS. You have to have 2008 Release 2 SSMS. And it works with 2008 databases, but they never upgraded SSMS to work with the DAC at all. So if you're using Management Studio, you have to be really careful of what version you use. For example, this one is version 1 DAC pack. When you put on Service Pack 1 on this guy, he turns into version 1.1 DAC pack. So now your upgrades are in place. When you install this guy, he's version 3 DAC pack. Right? On SQL Azure, it depends on what you're pointing to your SQL Azure database, which version of SSMS. And how can you tell the version of SSMS and what it supports? Well, there's a list in the books online, but the easy way that I can do is just to go in here and say, let's see, what can I do with SSMS Object Explorer? If I right-click on databases, I can deploy a DAC and I can import a DAC. So what that means is I can get a DAC pack and I can import a backpack. And what about this one over here, this management? It has a data tier application over here. What about any database? So for any database under tasks, I can deploy, oh, look at this, deploy database to SQL Azure. So basically, all these guys' clients just connected up and made them do everything, right? So I can take a database if I want to and deploy it to SQL Azure. Do you want to see me do that? Oh, that'd be fun. Export data to your application is make me a backpack. And down, I'm sorry, export is make me a DAC pack, right? And extract is make me a backpack. So basically, this version of SQL Server Management Studio, the 2012 version, can do anything. All right, since I have a database open, let me go do this. So let's just go and say tasks and deploy it to Azure. Okay, just for fun, right? This is the demo part. It's the nice, fun part. So server connection wants my Azure database. Oh, good. It's going to bring up the dialog box I already know. Has my password in it. Wonderful. Okay, and then edition of Azure is not business. It's web. With one maximum database size. There we go. And temporary file location? Oh, I see. It'll actually put a backpack on your Windows Azure storage and restore it from that. Right. I want restore far. Right. Now we have code near and code far. Well, now we have restore near and restore far. If I put it on a backpack on your storage, then it takes a short time to restore it. See if I can restore it from here. Oh, no. Validate source database error. Validate source database failed. That's what I get for running too many versions of the DAC at the same time. Okay. That's not good. I used to have a rule at a place I used to work that if you ruined one demo in a talk, it was okay. But if you ruined two demos, you have to shave your head. Don't look for me to shave my head tomorrow. I won't be here, so you'll never know. Okay, there we go. That was two demos in a row. All right. But I'm just going to blithely act like that didn't happen and go on. Okay. So comparing DAC pack files, that's one of the cool things it does. Right, DAC pack over here, DAC pack over here, tell me what's different. And Visual Studio can do that. If Visual Studio is unavailable, you can actually just use WinDiff if you want to, because all they are is text files. Right, so use WinDiff against the XML files, who cares? Right, this is for who? For DBAs. Because how many DBAs have Visual Studio installed? None, right? So those guys need something to be able to do this with too. So working with DAC, it's basically a set of libraries. Microsoft.sqlserver.management.dac.dll. The DAC libraries are already installed into the global assembly cache, so you don't have to worry about them being installed. And the prerequisites for DAC, if you just want to run it on a machine by itself that has no SQL servers or anything, obviously all this stuff installs when you have SQL Server, or if you install the data tools, or if you install Visual Studio. But what if you have a blank machine with nothing? that somebody's just going to sit in a corner and do deployments. Then you have to install SMO, the SQL Server Management Objects. The Transact SQL Language Service, DLL. Did you know that Transact SQL had a language service? Every once in a while, SQL Server people will want to say, I'd like some program, I'd like to write a program that can parse SQL. Could you give me like the parse format for it? What's the parsing tool that everybody uses to make up new languages? Oh, come on. It's not. It's like one of those like Awker said, except it's not that one. Right, what's the Unix tool that you use to make up new languages? Yak, right. So could you give me the Yak grammar for it? And they go, we don't distribute the Yak grammar for SQL Server. But if you use the Transact SQL Language Service, DLL, you can make up a program that says parse, call the parse routine, and it'll parse it and see if it's okay. So now you have a Transact SQL Language Service. And in fact, if you were really good, I bet that parse routine actually has a version of SQL Server to see if it's okay. Cool. People do this all the time now. And then the CLR types, because if you need spatial, you need hierarchy ID, it needs to have those around. So basically all this is a set of libraries. Working with DAX and PowerShell, like I said, my PowerShell is broken in R0, but basically if you go into PowerShell here, I can get you this far. All right, so there's Windows PowerShell. Did I make it in a hideously big font? Yes, hideous big font, okay. So in this version of SQL Server, the way that you import SQL Server PowerShell stuff into a regular PowerShell, we got any PowerShell aficionados here? They made it into a module. Import module in this version and just say SQL PS. And when you import module SQL PS, it just takes, right, takes all the SQL Server stuff and puts it in there. What it's complaining about is the SQL Server guys didn't use standard PowerShell names. So you can say import SQL PS silent and it won't tell you that. Right, okay, now that I've got that, I have a directory here called SQL Server. There's my directory called SQL Server. And if I do a directory here, or LS, or whatever else you want to do, get child item, right? Notice that one of the nodes in this for SQL Server is not only the SQL Server database engine, policy-based management, registration, data collection, X events, the utility actually has its own node, and the DAC has its own node. Notice in SQL Server 2012, they also have SSIS and SSAS, which weren't in SQL Server before. So there's an entire node for the DAC that you can work with it if it would work. Right now it says, I don't have the right version of the DAC to work with this. So that's why I'm not going to show it to you. And you can, like I said, use a PowerShell script to search for SQL servers that are compatible with your execution policy. I have an execution policy where I have to have TCP/IP installed, it has to be version 10 or better, it has to have Service Pack 1 installed, and I want it to install on an instance that's running a Turkish collation on the instance. And it'll go, look, oh yeah, I have one over here for you. Sounds like they're making airline reservations. Okay, initial deployment. So they basically just will deploy a blank database with blank stuff in it. It uses the recovery model from the model database to decide whether to do, you know, simple recovery model or full recovery. Registering. So registering a DAC just can't be done by anybody. It requires alternate login and view definition on the database. Aside from that, it really doesn't require any special privileges, but those are fairly heavy-duty privileges. Alter any login, that's going to be a DBA privilege. It's optimized right now for applications with fewer than 1,000 objects, but I believe somebody did this against one of the SAP apps at one point. It takes a while, but it does work. Okay, managing data to your applications. So entries are made in MSDB, and you might back up the database or back up MSDB because that's where your DAC stuff is going to go. Upgrading. So again, I told you the whole upgrading story. I'm not going to do it again. It upgrades in place as of DAC 1.1. And in fact, if I have this registered as a DAC right now, I have something registered, right? Northwind at one point. And I say tasks upgrade. There should be an upgrade task in here. Where is it? Oh, I'm sorry. The upgrade task actually lives off of this GUI thing. You have to remember that you're dealing with somebody that's GUI impaired. There we go. Right here. Now it doesn't even give you a choice. It just says upgrade data to your application. And when you go to upgrade, it says, do you have a new backpack? Let me do a diff for you. And by the way, I'm not going to make a new database and do that weird rename thing. I'm going to update in place. I don't think it actually says that, but maybe for the DBAs they did. Right. Okay. Database drift. Again, this is its database drift semantic if you're updating a database. And DAC version 1.1 just allows update in place. Now, remember the point of the DAC, to go back to this, because we've done so many different DAC things, you might be confused at this point. The point of the DAC was to have one object that has the definition of the entire database. So when I say upgrade a database, it'll look at the DAC pack, it'll look at the real database, it'll do a diff between the two, and it'll generate a script. There is no upgrade script in there. They're going to generate it at runtime. Now, when you're doing that upgrade, one of the dialog boxes says to the database administrator, just save the script to a file, and I'll do it. You know, don't do it. Don't let me do it. Do it yourself. And so database administrators like that. That's why they get the big bucks. So DAC 2.0 in SQL Azure, I sort of talked about this a little bit. This is even used for right now. They came out with a new utility last week that's called the SQL Azure Compatibility Assessment. Have you seen this one? And so when you run the SQL Server Compatibility Assessment, it comes up with a dialog box that says, this will determine if your database is compatible with SQL Azure. You can tell they really want people to go to SQL Azure, right? This determines whether you're compatible with SQL Azure. And it says, to start, give me a DAC pack file. And it's like, oh, so you're not going to let me connect to the database and tell me, but you'll take a DAC pack file? It's like, yeah, that's what they're going to do. So you can see, like, this is the all-around Swiss Army knife thing of SQL Server utilities. And so to not like this at this point in time would just be silly, because it's used by so many different groups. Additional operations, you can use a backpack, and it is compressed JSON format. So it's not full JSON, which would be everything as a string. By the way, in version 2, I think they fixed this by now, but I would have to go look. In version 2, there was an esoteric problem with this backpack thing. They could not backpack a table that actually had a column in it of data type SQL variant. And this is because they couldn't figure out how to represent SQL variant. Because remember, a SQL variant can be anything. So how do you represent anything in JSON, right? Make it, and they'd have to, on import, figure out, is this a date? Is this money? Is this an integer? What is this? So I think they've solved the SQL variant problem, but that was their one and only problem. In fact, when import-export went live, they had to solve the SQL variant problem by then. Import-export on the portal, we've seen that. 3.0 is the one that's going to be used by 2012 and data tools for 2012. And this one can actually check the Azure syntax at compile time. So I'm not going to do this, but because it's too late. But make a new Data Tools 2012 project, and then tell it to set the compliance to Azure compliance, and try and type something that's wrong. And it'll tell you that's wrong for Azure, which is what I thought the point of the whole language syntax thing was, you know, the whole YAC equivalent, was in the first place. As I'm typing along, if I've told it I'm going to deploy this to Azure, don't let me type anything I shouldn't. Like, save me for myself, right? DACPAC can be said, so because now they're up to 3.0 and not all the tools use 3.0 format, you have a choice in Gert's new tool about whether to save the DACPAC in 3.0 or 2.0 format. But remember, 2.0 doesn't support all the objects. They only support the objects that are in SQL Azure. 3.0 does. So if, and I found this out over the weekend. So because I sort of stick up for these guys, I'm able to write them mail and they just answer me. And one of the things I said is, so how does it look in the RTM version of SQL Server Management Studio? And they go, in the RTM version of SQL Server Management Studio, you will only be able to consume and produce DAC 3.0 format. And I said, what if you need to put it in a 2.0 tool? And they said, too bad, so sad. Import it into a SSDT project and export it out as 2.0. Gert's tool will be able to produce 3.0 or 2.0. Okay. So is that enough DAC stuff? Do you get the idea of where sort of this is going? So what's their long, strange history, right? So in version 1, they had to ship something right away to satisfy the needs of the SQL Server utility. They shipped something right away. Everybody was upset. The most thing they were upset about is how they did upgrades. So they worked really hard, and in 1.1, they can do upgrades in place. That was not an easy thing to do, apparently, right? And in 1.1, then everybody said, you can do update in place, so let's go on to the next thing to complain about. You don't support all the objects. And at that point, they said, we're tired of working with you guys. Let me go work with the Azure team for a while. They have less objects. And at least we can support all their objects sooner. So they can support all the Azure objects. Getting there, what did the Azure guys turn around and do? Oh, we don't have a backup and restore format. Do you want to invent that while you're here? So they invent a version-independent backup and restore format, which SQL Server has never had. Right? I could have took that backpack from that guy, and I could have put it in 2008, 2008 release 2, 2012. It doesn't care. Right? So at that point, they were done with the Azure guys, and they thought, good, now we'll get some time off. Now. SQL Server 2012 is going to ship, and SQL Server 2012 data tools are going to ship. And they go, by the way, you guys put off adding all the objects, the esoteric objects, like cryptographic providers and signatures. So why don't you put those in now? Just, you know, the other 40 objects you don't support, we've got a couple of weeks. Put them in now. And so they're still working like mad. But when SQL Server 2012 ships, they'll be, quote, unquote, done. And then we'll see what they do for an encore then. Everybody okay with where this is going to go? And one of these days, sometime, you'll be able to take a database from over here, ask SQL Server, where on the system can I put it? Because this instance is overloaded. And then it'll give you a list of where you want to put it, and you'll just be able to drag and drop it there. So they're not done yet. Any questions? Yes, sir. You could put a backpack on SQL 2005 if you have SQL Server Management Studio for 2012, or if you use the command line tool to do it. If I use the command line tool or write a PowerShell script, it's just a DLL, it doesn't care. But the SQL Server 2005 Management Studio doesn't support the DAC. There's no drop-down list box thingy. Neither does 2008. Right. Yes? Can you change the database and change data at the same time? No, that's one of the limitations of it right now. So if I understand what I think you're saying, so I have a database with tables A, B, and C. And I have a backpack with tables D, E, and F. And maybe a change to table A. I have a newer version of A in the backpack than I have on the database. And I say, install the backpack. When I'm done, will it have the new version of A, B, and C, D, E, and F? And no, it won't. If you install, I've tried it. If you install a backpack on a database with tables already in it, it wipes out all the tables that aren't in the backpack. So don't do that. If they're the same tables and you want to add new ones, I'm not sure if it can do that yet. I'd have to try it to make sure. If you write me mail, I'll try it and see if that'll work. But I don't think so offhand by what I know about how the DAC stuff works. In other words, when you get a backpack, it's supposed to be the equivalent of doing a restore. Could I do a partial restore of just some tables in a database with a DAK file and restore database and Transact SQL? And no, I can't. So they probably can't do any better than Transact SQL can. But I'll try it. If you send me mail to remind me, I'll try it and tell you. Any other? Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Which version of SQL Server are you using? Okay. In 2008, they made it better. Right, that was SP Depends. So SP Depends, you had to install everything exactly in the right order for it to ever work. And if you change one thing, it would break everything. So in 2008, they made up four new metadata views. All right, I think it was two of them. One that would show you, if you gave it a stored procedure, everything that used that stored procedure. The other one that it showed you, if you gave it a table, it would show you everything that depended on that table. And these are called SysDM dependent objects and SysDM the opposite of dependent objects. I forget what the actual name of it is. I always have trouble with this. But dependencies and dependents or something like that. So, yeah, that's in 2008. And the cool thing about the one in 2008 is it can go across schemas, it can go across databases, it can even show you your dependencies on a link server if you have the link server linked up. So if you have something that uses a four-part name, it'll tell you that there's a dependency on that other instance of the SQL Server. The bad thing about the dependency thing is that if you have an error, it doesn't finish what it started, right? It drops at the first error. And I don't really like that. I think it should continue on. But it stops at the first error. However, one of the things you can do with that is to actually run a script. And if the script works, then you know you've got everything. And if the script doesn't, you know you have a problem. But yeah, that's in 2008, the dependencies. And since I couldn't show you the name for them, if you can send me mail, I'll send you the name of these things, also in a demo of it. Because I used to do this for 2008. But yeah, SP depends is gone. They left it there for people that actually use it for backward compatibility, but there's no reason to use it anymore. Any other questions? Wow. This is the most questions I've actually had. So the DAC thing was actually worth it? Cool. You were glad you came? Okay. Oh, good. Because I was worried about it, right? Especially because of the initial thing that happened to it. So thank you very much for coming. I'm only a minute over. Darn, I was over. And they got to leave right now. So thank you so much for coming, and I appreciate it. And maybe I'll see you again next year or at TechEd.